I'm Dave Drexler with Inside Art. Every Saturday at 5 p.m. Pacific, KSDS takes you to the Mississippi Delta, the birthplace of the blues, for the Crossroads Delta Blues Hour. Roger Stoley is your guide to the music, history, and culture of the Delta and its profound influence on American popular music. Based in Clarksdale, Mississippi, where legend has it a young Robert Johnson made a deal with the devil to learn how to play the guitar at the Crossroads, Stoley is the owner of one of the country's premier blues stores, Cathead Delta Blues and Folk Art. He's the author of Hidden History of Mississippi Blues and Mississippi Juke Joint Confidential, also a founder of Clarksdale's annual Juke Joint Festival and the Clarksdale Film and Music Festival. Roger Stoley, it's a pleasure to have you on KSDS and Inside Art.
Hey, thanks so much, David. I really appreciate it.
Well, Roger, what brought you to the Crossroads? You're not originally from that part of the country, and I'm kind of curious what lured you down there to change your life and devote it to the blues.
Sure. So I've been here 21 years now, which is pretty crazy. And I grew up in Dayton, Ohio. I got into blues and music as a young person. Actually, when Elvis Presley died, is the first music I ever listened to. And his blues and R&B covers led me to the blues in some ways later. But I went to University of Cincinnati, went back to Dayton, stumbled into advertising. It ultimately took me years later to St. Louis, Missouri in February 1995. And being a blues fan, I was like, hey, 5 hours away is Mississippi, where all my heroes came from. So I came down initially to do what I, you know, lovingly termed the Dead Man Blues Tour. Because I really thought it was all gone. You know, I thought I was going to see some grave sites, you know, where Muddy Waters grew up, things like that, which I did. The first visit did not have, admittedly, a lot of live blues, but I learned enough to come back, spend more time, and over the course of six and a half years, just really got to know a lot of blues people and places and history, and I just kept coming back after that initial Dead Man Blues tour and a later, you know, big juke joint experience that really kind of turned me on to what was going on sort of underground at that point, since blues music was not, you know, the pop music of its own culture anymore down here. You had to kind of really search for it. So long story short, I kept visiting. I was doing advertising and marketing up in St. Louis. And, you know, I just kept thinking about this and how I could contribute in some way. Because you could be down here at that time, even in Clarksdale, Mississippi, on a Saturday night, there might not be any blues or any music whatsoever, because it really was just sort of dying within its own culture, certainly below the radar at that point. And my thought was, if Clarksdale, here in the heart of the Blues Delta in Mississippi, could be the town that had the music at night, then it could get the sort of tourist blues fan visitor from around the world who was going to Memphis, driving, you know, to or from New Orleans on their trip. If we could get them here for one night, they'd really understand kind of where this music came from and why it came from here. But the live music was the key to get people to spend the night. So when I moved here to open my Cathead Delta Blues and Folk Art store, which just celebrated 21 years. But I really moved here with a mission to help organize and promote the blues from within, try to pull it together enough that you could actually market it. And so that's what we've been doing for a couple decades now, collectively, not just me. You know, slowly some locals became involved, and then very slowly, but ultimately, a lot of other folks have moved here or invested here in ways that are helpful to the blues scene. And today, I'm super happy and proud to report that we have live blues 365 nights a year in Clarksdale, Mississippi, as well as over a dozen annual festivals.
You must be very satisfied with that. And how about the townsfolk? What do they think?
Well, it's done a lot for the town. And I'm not saying just me. I don't want to take claim for everything. It's sort of an ad hoc group of us at this point working on it. We have a great tourism office now, fortunately. We have a world-class Delta Blues Museum now, fortunately. But yeah, it's interesting. Initially, when I moved here, you know, Southern hospitality is a real thing. So people were nice to you. You know, you didn't know what they were really thinking, the fact that you moved here from the big city and whatever, you know. But ultimately, when people saw, I think, you know, me personally and the projects I've worked on, festivals and such, that really it was as much about downtown revitalization, as much about tourism as it was anything. And my message always for, you know, lots of locals who aren't necessarily blues fans is that you don't have to love the music to appreciate the history and also what the music can today do for your town. You know, Juke Joint Festival, J-U-K-E, Juke Joint Festival in April is sort of like the perfect example of what we've been trying to do, because literally from the beginning, our sort of tagline was half blues festival, half small town fair, and all about the Delta. And the concept was, yes, we're going to have blues music to attract fans from all around the U.S., all around the globe. At this point, we have over 100 blues acts at that festival in April for a town of 14,000, which is crazy. But we also have racing pigs and monkeys riding dogs out of Pontotoc, Mississippi, and street vendors and food and a kids section, in addition to the 17 free daytime stages. So the idea is that, you know, locals who say, well, I don't like blues, or maybe they've heard it their whole lives and they're just tired of it, they come out to see one of the animal acts or bring their kids to the kids stuff, and then they run into fans from all around the world. We've had as many as 28 foreign countries here at one time for that festival, and all around the U.S. as well. And, you know, Southern hospitality kicks in. You hear a foreign accent, you're like, well, where are y'all from? And we have, you know, it's funny, you come forward in time, and we now have folks from overseas who actually stay with locals, because it's so hard to get hotel rooms that particular week, because they've, you know, struck up this international friendship. And locals become ambassadors for their own town. And of course, if you're coming from somewhere else, you don't want to hang out with people from somewhere else necessarily. You want to hang out with locals. So, you know, I always try to keep that in mind with everything we do, is how do we just kind of mix things up, get folks from all demographics in the same room or under the same umbrella? Because it really does, in the end, even though people don't realize maybe that you're doing it or why you're doing it, in the end, it helps the music, it helps the town, and it brings more folks, you know, to this region.
Tell me a little bit about the backstory of the Crossroads itself. How did this become such an important place in blues and American music?
Well, it's fascinating because, you know, Robert Johnson, the bluesman of primarily the 1930s era, you know, has become the gift that keeps on giving. I mean, there's countless books and documentaries, and I mean, he has three headstones in three separate cemeteries. It really is amazing. Yeah, well, you know, at first they didn't know where he was buried. The first one that went up was definitely wrong. And the second one, many people thought it was right. That's the Columbia Records one. But the third one is the one that has sort of the blessing of the blues scholars. But even the Mississippi Blues Trail marker that is at that location out on Money Road near Greenwood, Mississippi, even that official marker says he is believed to be buried here. So we never really will know because, frankly speaking, for African Americans here at that time, you know, paperwork and history, note-taking, documentation was not great. So it's a lot of anecdotal data that we have to go by. You know, people saying, well, my husband buried him right over here under that tree, which is literally what puts him in that cemetery. But the Crossroads story itself, sort of the story of Faust, you know, we were trading, you know, making this deal with the devil. And it apparently was not just Robert Johnson's tale to tell at the time, but in the end, he kind of owned it. You know, he put it into a song and had a couple songs that danced around the theme. And then, of course, he died mysteriously at 27 years old, starting the 27 Club that all the rock and rollers ended up later, sadly, ended up in later. But it's the gift that keeps on giving because, you know, here it is. He died in 1938, and it's sort of out there as a story, but not in the mainstream. And then Son House, the great Eddie Son House from Clarksdale, Mississippi, is rediscovered in the 1960s. And he basically tells an interviewer, oh, yeah, he couldn't play anything. He used to mess with our instruments, and we have to go in and tell him to get off our instruments at break. And then he disappears, comes back, and he can outplay all of us. Must have been that deal with the devil. And it sort of, from there, you know, refuels the whole thing. Tommy Johnson, of no relation, a slightly earlier bluesman, also apparently was saying the same story, although that information also didn't come out till the 1960s, so who knows. But it's fascinating, and people love mythology and stories and legends, and that brings them to the music. And fortunately, the music absolutely holds up. I mean, Robert Johnson was certainly kind of the Jimi Hendrix of his day. Like, you could hear all the influences going in, but when it came through him, it was definitely something new. So we're lucky to have that and have all those recordings. here in Clarksdale, now every little town here at this point kind of claims the crossroads because it's mythology. But we do have the one crossroads marker at what was once Highway 49 and 61 back in the day. And the reason really it ended up there is that locals always referred to that as the crossroads because it was two major highways crossing in, you know, a major Delta town. So then when the story sort of became public, or at least people recognized it here in Clarksdale, it was like, oh, well, there it is. We have it. And they put up the marker. So it sort of came up honestly, although, you know, I get people who treat it as though it's a fact. And it's like, well, I'm just going to say that I never let the facts get in the way of a good story.
We're with Roger Stoley, who's the host of Crossroads Delta Blues Hour on Saturdays at 5 p.m. Pacific here on Jazz 88.3. And tell us a little bit about your thinking behind the show, how you like to do your show every week in case people haven't heard it yet.
Absolutely. So it is basically an advertisement for Mississippi, Clarksdale, Real Deal Blues. I like to really play the music from 1920s to present that has some connection to Mississippi usually, and that has stories tied to it, either things that I have read about or heard about, or in some cases, I was in the room when it happened, you know, to make it really entertaining. Sort of like we're talking about with Robert Johnson and these stories, you know, the stories will always catch people and it'll bring them to the music. And so if I'm going to play, you know, a James T Model Ford, well, I don't know if people are going to get that music initially, but if you give them a good, true story to go with it that's bigger than life, then you're like, wow, I want to hear that song. And then a lot of these songs from the, you know, the real deal culturally connected bluesmen, maybe not every song, but some songs will have real truth and real personal experience in them. And I think people can relate to that. Also, while I will, you know, certainly play the big names of the blues, you know, B.B. King, Muddy Waters, Howlin' Wolf, that came out of Mississippi. You know, I like to play a lot of obscure stuff as well, and things that maybe, frankly, you can't even really pick up yourself. You know, recordings that are really that obscure. And in the end, my hope is by providing the music, the stories, and then the information about today, what's going on, the festivals that are going on next month and last month and next year, that, you know, we start seeing some of the KSDS listeners come right on through the home of the Crossroads, Clarksdale, Mississippi, and spend a weekend with us.
Well, you've also developed some film series as a filmmaker, is that correct?
Yeah, so starting in 2006, I was working with, trying to help this guy, Big George Brock, this real storied bluesman from Clarksdale, or a plantation just out from Clarksdale, actually. Who I'd met in St. Louis when I lived there, because that's where he ended up. He didn't migrate to Chicago. He stopped in St. Louis. And I did sort of a comeback album for him that had helped him get gigs overseas, and started out doing, essentially, I was going to do a promotional video just to help him. But the stories and the music was also incredible that we made a movie called Hard Times. Damian Blaylock, a filmmaking friend of mine, and I did. And then because of that, with another friend who was starting to record bluesmen down here, Jeff Conkle of Broken Hunger Records, we started saying we'd be at these crazy experiences, like a yard party with R.L. Boyce, where, you know, people would be burning tires and there'd be moonshine and just the whole nine yards. And you're like, you know, wow, if you could only capture this, you know, not just a record of this guy, but this scene, you know, we started referring to it as the project. And we didn't know what that was at first, but eventually we're like, you know, let's make a film, soundtracks, etc. And so that's what we did, called M for Mississippi in 2008. It is out of print as a DVD, but somebody bootlegged it up on Vimeo.com, and we don't mind. So go to Vimeo.com, look up M for Mississippi, see a seven-day road trip through the blues. Then we did We Juke Up in Here, which was a similar type of film, but, you know, more juke joint centric. And then ultimately, and this is free, it's 10 episodes, it's about 4 hours of TV quality video. It's called Moonshine and Mojo Hands, all spelled out, moonshineandmojohands.com. You can watch all 10 episodes for free. And essentially, it's like everything else we do here. We try to tell the stories, present some music, and ultimately motivate people to make a road trip, or in the case of, you know, folks from San Diego, perhaps hop a plane, fly to Memphis, and drive down to experience the real thing and in its real home.
Where can people get more information about your work and about the show?
Sure. So for my work and my store, they can go to cathead.biz, cathead.biz on the World Wide Web. And of course, on the show, you can go to jazz88.org. And all of our shows have a little thing you can click on, and you can hear past episodes and read a little more about it.
Roger Stoley, the host of the Crossroads Delta Blues Hour every Saturday here on KSDS. Roger, thanks again for joining us on Inside Art. Great to have you on the station.
Thanks, David. I really appreciate it.
I am a hard-working man.
The Crossroads Delta Blues Hour airs Saturdays at 5 p.m. Pacific on Jazz 88.3, with archive programs available online at jazz88.org. You can learn more about Roger Stoley and the blues scene of Clarksdale, plus Cathead Delta Blues and Folk Art at cathead.biz.
Well, you know, when I get back down in lowland, well, yes, I won't have to wait no more. Let on me like rocks on 61, baby.
Inside Art is made possible with support from the members of Jazz 88.3. Replays and extended versions of every Inside Art broadcast are available online at jazz88.org/InsideArt. Again, my thanks to Roger Stoley and Joe Iconis. For Jazz 88.3, I'm Dave Drexler. Join me again on air and online for another edition of Inside Art.